You're listening to C101.5 FM, The Hawk.
You are listening to Bridging the Social Distance. My name is Jenny Mitchell, and I recorded this show here at CFRU, Guelph's campus and community radio station, as a means of creating a platform for us to share ideas and feelings and perspectives in the wake of this global pandemic that is COVID-19. I was afraid that people would get isolated or I would lose the opportunity to chat with my community and find out how everyone is doing, so I made this show. If you're listening and you would like to get involved or be interviewed, you can contact me at mobile@cfru.ca. I'd like to provide the disclaimer that these interviews were recorded at different points in time, so situations in some of these locations may have changed. This show is also being syndicated for CIOI in Hamilton, Ontario. Today I'm speaking with Mary Haggerty and Catherine Finley over at the Village of Riverside Glen about the Java Music Club, which is one of Riverside Glen's signature programs. This interview was originally recorded on July 29th, 2020. This song you're hearing is the opening song from the Java Music Club.
Like I knew I could, a great big hug and I'm okay. I can make it through this day. A little singing would be right on time. A little loving and I'm feeling fine. Sunshine through my window pane. And I can.
So to start with, can you two introduce yourselves for listeners? I suppose maybe we'll start with Mary.
Sure. My name is Mary Haggerty. I work in the recreation department at the Village of Riverside Glen. And one of my programs is the Java Music Club. And I've been facilitating it for, I'm going to say, 6 or almost 7 years now.
I'm Catherine Finley. I'd say a patient. I don't think I'm much of a patient. I think I'm on my own sort of side, recovering. And I started to go to various clubs and things, yeah. And then I saw this Java Music. Hadn't a clue what Java Music was. Asked two staff, and one said, "Oh, you'll love it, love it." The other one said, "Oh, I don't think it's your thing." So I thought, guess what? I have to go and find out. That's why I've continued.
Amazing. Well, I guess a really good place to start from there is to find out what the Java Music Club is. Do you two want to try to describe to me what goes on in this club?
The Java Music Club is a facilitated resident-to-resident support group. And the structure, if you're okay with it, I'll just give you a quick outline of what a session looks like. So typically we would gather residents together, anywhere between 5 to 8 residents. We've often run the group in our country kitchen. And we gather everybody and get some coffee and tea, use the nice china cups
and little chocolate biscuits.
And so we usually start with a little social gathering.
Yes.
And then we have our group guidelines. We do a centering and focus exercise, a breathing exercise. Then we have an opening song, which we sing each week. And then I introduce the theme. We have different themes based on the season. And I can tell you some of those as we chat today, if you like. There are songs that go along with the topic. And there are questions, topic questions that go with the theme. After everyone has had an opportunity to answer the questions, we move on to our closing affirmation, and then there's a closing song. So that's the structure of it. And that's what we do when we meet each week.
Okay. And how about the purpose or the goal of the club? Like what it formed to do, I guess.
So ultimately, the group is designed to form a bond and a connection with all of the residents that are in the group. We We give everyone an opportunity to contribute, and we respect each person's right to their opinion. So we get a nice cross-section of perspectives on each of the topics each week. And really, the whole idea is to share some loving kindness with each other.
And I think to have an environment that people feel comfortable talking about, because many times these people, those things, especially at our age, when you don't have long left in this world, they can talk about with security.
Absolutely.
And I think that is, to me, it's very evident. And there are times that I've come away from that and had a cry. And it was because of what happened during that meeting. And it's hard to describe, but it's a feeling that somebody can at last open up and feel secure that they've said it. And they get comfort in what Mary says to them. And that it sounds sentimental now, but you know, it is. It is beautiful. And that's happened to me several times there, that hearing people who don't talk a lot, or don't, and it sometimes what they say it comes out funny at the beginning, but it's not funny because it shows what's being inside themselves, and they're able to express it.
They're able to share with a group of people, yeah, that they're comfortable, and that everyone has something to contribute.
Yes, yes. And Mary is very, very good at that, because she'll say to the person, if the rest don't hear it, and do you mind, that was good, do you mind if I share that with the others? Of course, perfect and certainly. But Mary asks, you know, is it okay if I share this? Because they didn't hear that, and I think it's good.
That's really beautiful. I'm so excited to hear more about this. One thing that occurs to me from having talked to some residents in the past is that it can be hard to find kind of like a safe space to talk about challenging topics, because you all live together and this is maybe your neighbor for the rest of your days. And so to bring up something that might be controversial or might be upsetting, it's hard to figure out how to do that without possibly jeopardizing kind of your friendship or relationship with your neighbor. I'm curious, I guess, how you keep that space in this club so that this is a safe space for those feelings to go, or like, is there a way that you have found that you can talk to each other here to kind of address that?
I'd say there are a couple of important things in the structure of the program. So we make sure that everyone has an opportunity to share, but at the same time, nobody has to share, do they?
No.
No, and no. And so it's always very respectful.
Yeah.
So we acknowledge that everyone, you know, doesn't share the same opinion. Sometimes we end up talking about faith or beliefs or values,
yeah,
and yeah, life experiences, and yeah, those are all different. Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is that we each have the opportunity to speak. We each have the opportunity to decline participation.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's no pressure.
No. And everyone is respectful.
Yes. Yeah.
And we commit to that from the beginning when we lay out our group guidelines. And I have to say, I don't think I've ever run a group where people were not respectful of each other.
No, I don't think so.
No. And we don't always agree with each other.
No. Which is good. Which is good. And yeah, also, even one or two times there's been people, because now we're not in a small room because of the virus, we're in the big room, and there's two men who always do crosswords in the room, and sometimes even staff passing. And Mary will say, did you, or ask them the question, do you remember? And they are only too willing to answer. So there's that. It's not like with little silly little group that are sitting in the middle of this big room.
Yeah. With the COVID virus, we've had to be mindful of social distancing. Mm-hmm. And we can't really have our coffee and tea with the lovely China cups. So we've moved our group into the main lounge. And the group is not designed to be a large group format. But as Catherine said, we've had people who sit on the sidelines. They're hesitant to fully participate, but they're willing to give comments from the peanut gallery. And every now and then, I'll put them on the spot. if they're going to be in the background, they have to share their opinions sometimes.
And one funny thing was when we had it in the room, we always had coffee or tea and these charming little chocolate biscuits. So they loved us. And then when we went into the big hall, she was like, we won't be having our coffee or our chocolate biscuits. But the good thing is that they kept coming back. You know? So I think I thought that was kind of funny, but it wasn't the incentive for them coming.
Yeah, I like that point. Yeah.
Chocolate cookies.
Well, sometimes it's hard to tell what is drawing people in. So that is good. It is good to see that people are devoted to it even without that draw.
Absolutely. And as Catherine mentioned, sort of an interesting side benefit of being in a large room is that staff who typically didn't know much about the program are walking by, are offering their comments and their opinions, their values. And it really changes the dynamic, doesn't it, a little bit?
It does.
Yeah, that staff are exposing more about themselves, too. And then, of course, the songs are good.
Well, this is what I was thinking of. The songs are very important. And the staff that are passing, they join in singing whatever they're doing. And the songs express what we've been talking about. And most of the songs that they remember. And you didn't think of it that way before. And those are good, too. How they come up with all the songs, I don't know. The ones that we know, that we've listened to, and are really, really work out well.
Yeah.
But the theme of the day, so.
I'd like to say that I'm magnificent and I come up with all of this on my own, but I don't. The program has set themes, set questions, and set music. Having said that, if I suspect that with a particular theme, we might go in a different direction than is laid out in the theme, I look at the song list and look at some other songs that I think may lend themselves well to the topic. And I usually have a variety of them that I can draw from so that if we've sung the same one over and over for the past few weeks, we can pull in a few others.
Yeah, but we've not had that.
No. Yeah, I work hard, though, to make sure we don't repeat ourselves.
Yeah. No, I don't think we've repeated.
No. Pretty Amazing Grace comes up a lot, though.
Yeah, that's true. They don't sing too much. It's a good job Mary's there. That's all I can say. And the rest of us try and sing along. But they're always good songs. This is it.
Yeah, so you might be tapping your toes or humming along. You don't have to be super musical to participate.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're just done right off key. But we sing like no one's listening.
That's right. Sometimes it's funny too.
One thing, Mary, when you're describing, you know, having access to some of the sort of infrastructure of this program, one thing that I've seen at Riverside Glen when I've sat in on programs is there is so much of an art to implementing a program sort of authentically, like with the participants, and especially in a program like you're describing, where there's probably a lot of very real emotions brought to the table. It's all well and good to be like, here's a program, but to program at participants without properly preparing the room for holding space and supporting everybody. Like, I feel like you're bringing so much to the table to have the participants feel supported, even if the structure comes from somewhere else. I think that's one of the most beautiful things I've seen at Riverside Glen is the program staff seem to put things into play, and it feels like it's been there all along. Like, it's almost like a way of life as opposed to something that is just on the calendar, you know?
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you for saying that about us. I think, okay, this sounds arrogant. I think I have an ability to facilitate, but if the residents aren't willing to share and if they're not comfortable, then the program doesn't work.
No. And I was thinking about this. I think that you can do all the exams you want, all the exams, and you can pass, but if you don't have the personality or the ability to understand the people, which Mary has a terrific gift for, she knows, I think that she has that gift, that she understands people, it doesn't matter what. And I think we're very blessed to have her. We're very blessed to have Carly and people like that who are not just doing a job. They are doing something that's part of themselves. And this is, if somebody had to say to me, what do you find the best thing about being here, that's what I would put. And I said that to the other day to the
general manager, Rice McBain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That this is what I would choose, is the talk, that these are things that at this stage of life are badly needed. Mm-hmm. But it's not just fun. It's something that I had a nephew who had problems he hid everything. And I thought, if only he had had this.
If he had had Java music?
If he'd had something like Java music.
Yeah.
That wasn't just, now why do you think you're like this?
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole different concept.
Yes.
And I think it's very, very important.
As a facilitator, I think mindful listening is a critical skill, right?
Yeah.
So when people are talking, I make a concerted effort to really hear what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I repeat it to them. And then, as you said, with their permission, repeat it to the whole group.
Yes.
And also make sure with them that I've heard it correctly.
Yes.
So that everyone has a chance.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's an important, very important.
Yeah, I think so too.
Important thing.
Yeah. And the topics that we have, everyone has an opinion.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
And yes. Sometimes the comments are funny.
Yes.
Sometimes they make you want to cry. Sometimes they just make you want to be there for others.
Yes.
So that outcome is beautiful. Yes. That's the loving kindness that we get to share.
Yeah. Yes.
I have a few questions within this. I'm curious, when residents are transitioning to the senior care part of their life, do you think that typically people enter that space assuming that they're not going to open up or become vulnerable in the same way. Catherine, I guess maybe I'll direct this to you. When you moved into Riverside Glen, did you anticipate it being a space where you could be really vulnerable and honest about feelings? Or did you look at it more as a space where that was for you now and not something that you would be sharing around? I'm curious if this club has sort of opened up like a new chapter in people's lives for getting to express themselves or open up that they weren't expecting.
And I think the first feeling when you come in is that this is not my home and I do not like it. Mm-hmm. And I think that for most people, I think that and they're lost. I mean, they're lost. They have a timetable, and that's going to be their life. And that is very difficult. To a certain extent, it doesn't go away. And just recently, actually, my daughter said to me, "Oh, we're going home now." And I said, "If you mean here, it's not my home. It will never be my home. The home was something else." And that takes a long time. I don't think you ever get over that. However, I think I trust most things here. There are things that are not carried out that I disagree with, which isn't what this is about, but I'm honest with it. But this, to me, the things that Mary provides and Carly provides and our chaplain provides are very helpful. They're things that are needed as much as food's needed, and it's much, in some cases, as much as medicine is needed.
Yeah.
So you don't go into a home expect medicine and things like that, but you don't expect these other things that we have got here.
Would you say that is spiritual care and spirit in terms of uplifting, of friendship, of comfort, of peace? Would you say that that's what the recreation and the chaplain and this program offer?
Yes. And I think after a while, I've been here over a year, and you understand where people are coming in and they're new. And you speak to them, how are you doing? And your thoughts are with them, you know. You've just seen a family leave somebody there, and they're looking completely lost. And so this part of you, what you've learned, goes into that. You can either hold yourself up in the room and you can go on with life to some extent.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that some of the programs, and especially Java Music, but speaks to that ability to draw you out from your room and be with others in a safe space?
Yes, and very often we get the people who this is their first week in. They don't know what to say. They come and they're welcomed, and they're part of the group, you know. So it's very much so that, and some other. To me, this is very, very important.
Yeah, Catherine, there's something really powerful in what you just described, because it feels like if Riverside Glen set out to try to have a perfect solution, to have everybody feel like this is the best place they could possibly be, that's maybe a really out of touch and unrealistic goal, with so many different people coming with so many different pasts and feelings. But creating a safe space to talk about how it is hard and not perfect. That is so, like, some people probably enter the facility worried they're not going to be able to admit if they're struggling or if they don't like it. So knowing that those feelings are honored is really powerful.
And it gets you annoyed because they're keeping talking like this and going on about food or going on about something, but they never come forward and say, you know, that was awful. And they'll say, you go and say it. Well, you know, after a while, you have to say, excuse me, you don't like that. That's not what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. And certainly some of them are probably shy, but at the same time, the people who run it won't know. And one thing I do every month when we get our Wee magazine or whatever.
The calendar of activities?
Yes.
Yeah.
When I get that, on the front, it's always the vision. And I always read that every month because we've fallen short of some of that, of what the vision was.
The vision and goals and mission of the village, of village life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We all need to be accountable.
Yeah.
Take the village.
Yeah, well, it's like every vision. It doesn't always work.
Yeah.
But at least to put it down. And I think good for them.
Yeah.
To put it on the front of the...
And this program speaks to the aspirations of the village and about wisdom of the elder. And isn't that the case every single week?
Oh, exactly.
Oh, we learn from each other.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
I come away every week with greater wisdom because of how you also openly share.
Yeah.
And usually with a good laugh as well.
Usually with a very good laugh. And people, they don't talk at other times.
No.
This is the thing. They don't, they're very, very quiet. And unless they have to wheel to the bathroom, then we don't hear from them. You know? And you get so many of them. Just one statement to make
is profound.
You know, but that's been a big miss in their life.
Yes.
And, you know.
One of our participants, if you'll indulge me, Jenny, one of our residents, Ruth Bilionis, she's been a part of the group since it was initially set up.
Yeah.
And sometimes we talk about maybe being fearful of change. Yeah. Ruth always quotes her father, and he always used to say to her, if you can do something about it, do it. And if you can't, forget about it.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times we look over at Ruth on any given topic and say, what would your dad say, Ruth?
Yes. And also the opening, why do you think we get together? And there's one lady there who doesn't participate a lot now, but every day she says, why do you get together?
Yeah.
What does it
she say? Always says, loving kindness.
That's right. Yes.
Thank you, Catherine. That reminds me, one of the other things that's so wonderful about this program is that there are various parts of the program that are specifically resident participation. So if everyone can read the group guidelines, we can read them together, or if someone has a good speaking voice and can project so everyone can hear, someone could take responsibility for reading those. So there are different tasks that we can assign to people in the group, which gives the participants a sense of ownership. Mm-hmm. And responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Eleanor, that's her job. She always says, our main reason for participating is loving kindness.
Yes. Yeah. And she's the one that said, oh, we won't get our hot chocolate and cookies anymore. But she
still comes
all the time.
You're listening to Bridging the Social Distance, a show recorded here in Guelph at CFRU as a platform for sharing stories and perspectives during the global pandemic of COVID-19. This show is also being syndicated for CIOI in Hamilton, Ontario. Today I'm speaking with Mary Haggerty and Catherine Finley about the Village of Riverside Glen's Java Music Club. Can you guys share with me some of the example topics, perhaps some of the ones that were really meaningful, where I guess feelings came out that were maybe really helpful to process?
Sure. I feel like I keep saying the beauty of the program, but honestly, it's just such an amazing program. The themes are structured based on season. So for example, this summer, we've talked about day-to-day challenges. We talk about getting along. One of the topics was discouragement. One week we talked about faith or fear or commitment, boredom, family, friendships, Mother's Day, Father's Day.
Those were the two that we got the most response from. The Mother's and Father's Days. Opened up doors that we would have not experienced otherwise. Mm. Those were very moving days. Very moving.
And sometimes I make an effort to keep things positive.
Yes.
When we're discussing these topics, but not everyone had a good experience with their mother or their father. And we just allow people to feel how they have felt.
Yes.
And I think that's important too, right? It's not all going to be happy.
That's right.
Yeah. But I try to pick a topic that's a little heavier on a sunny day. It helps, doesn't it?
Yes. Now, it's going to be interesting going back after us being how that has, that will produce different thinking. There's also a very strong feeling of depression.
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
And that's something we're going to have. I don't know if it's a good topic.
We can go anywhere you want. That's the beauty of it.
Yes. Yeah. But one thing you didn't mention is when there's a word given for the topic, Mary always has a picture. And it's something visual is very important too. What do you think about it? What do you think was happening in this picture? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's another side, that if they can't think something and then to see a picture of somebody who's depressed or whatever, then they can put themselves in that position, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all been like there.
My favorite thing when we're discussing something that's heavy, like discouragement, is for us to put ourselves in the position of giving advice to someone else who might be feeling that way.
Yes.
It's often easier to think of how we might support others versus how we would help ourselves.
That's what I think why I feel for people who just come in.
Yes, you know, you've been there.
And how you manage it. This kind of thing.
And doesn't everyone have fabulous advice?
Yes, sometimes.
I think that brings up another really good point. I think some people don't want to be a bother, right? Like, I had a resident proudly show me that he trims his own fingernails when he doesn't have another hand, and that it takes hours to do it, but he's very proud of the fact that he can be independent. And so we had an interesting conversation around, like, just because you can do something yourself or support yourself, if you are in an environment where you can, like, lean on other people for some of that. So I think if people are coming in with feelings that, but they don't want to bother anybody with them, or they don't, or they feel like they'll be taking support or time away from someone else by making it about them, so that piece where you're sharing advice for someone else allows them to feel helpful instead of taking up resources, you know?
Yes. And everyone has something to offer.
Yeah.
And and sometimes it's comic relief, and sometimes it's, you know, something that was so straightforward. It, you know, why didn't we think of that?
Yes.
Yeah. And so many different people, different talent, different backgrounds,
different personalities.
Yes, different personalities, and
come from different countries.
That's right.
Remember on Canada Day, we were talking about, you know, what do you feel most proud about living in Canada, and the people who had come from countries that were war-torn had different answers than someone who was born on a Canadian farm.
Yes. And that's another thing that's come out, I find, very much so, that this was an agricultural place, very well-known agricultural place. And now so many of the farms have gone, and these people were on farms, and we're learning about that two feelings that they have.
Yeah, and they're a little different, aren't they?
Yes.
Than if you grew up in a city, or grew up close to a big urban center.
Or a different country.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. it's very good. That's why I go. I think it's very good. My husband is in long-term care, and he doesn't have this, and I wish he did, or did go to it, because and he's the kind of person who would have taken this in.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. There is another version of this program, and I'm not saying that this is what your husband would participate in, but there's another version that is specifically for memory care. And I'm excited to get some exposure to that, because I also run the program on our memory care floor, our Emma neighborhood. And so, like Catherine said, the visual cues, we use chimes, the music.
Yes.
All of those things.
Chimes is another thing. We have chimes when it's starting. And Mary has this lovely set of chimes. And there's usually somebody who does it, who's very quiet. They love this. This is, you know, we look for to other times, other people get chimes, but
someone's job.
Yes, that's right.
Rule.
And I think that is, I think that's important too.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I just find this program magic.
Yeah.
I just find it magical, and I feel blessed.
Yeah.
That I get to participate.
Yes.
Has the program ever given the facility kind of like a window into maybe, like, if something's come up and there's been a surprising amount of agreement among the residents that they all struggle with a particular thing, has it ever led to shifts or changes in the way things are run? Or, like, has the, even maybe the program itself, has it adapted or changed in response to the participants and what they share?
Well, I know that every week when I facilitate the program, we modify, we adapt, we move to the method that is most comfortably accommodated by the residents. So if there was a group of residents that were not overly communicative, then we might have more music, or we might use the visual cues more. But has it ever prompted us to change how we do things? I think I have an example that could be helpful. And Catherine, you and I have talked about this. That one of the topics is fear. And one of the residents expressed in the group that she was concerned that someone had come into her room in the night. And that she was fearful. And I think what was comforting to the whole group, because who doesn't feel scared about that? Some unknown person has come into my room in the night and I'm afraid.
Similar to me the other night, somebody came into chat and I did, you don't hear them because they're so quiet and they come. And I turned to my bed and there was this person and I jumped in my bed and she jumped off.
Yeah. And you know what it was? You know what it was, Jenny? It was the night nurse doing the check to make sure everybody was okay.
Oh. Yeah.
And how wonderful that in a group like that, someone who might not have said something otherwise was able to say it, and you were able to share that you'd had a similar experience, and we were able to reassure everyone that happens every night, whether they know it or not, you know, that we're that everybody is being kept safe.
Yes.
And that was reassuring.
Yes. Yes. There was one thing that came up in the last meeting we had, and we talked about it afterwards, that we have to be careful about it. It's a very, very difficult situation.
Yes.
And it was somebody who brought up something about religion.
Yes.
And there was a very strong feeling about this denomination.
Yes.
It was. And we'd be careful that it didn't come out like we were against one denomination.
Yes.
That was the only time that I felt,
we needed to clarify to the whole group.
Yeah. But because of the context, it wasn't, and you cannot say to them not to mention, because it was part of their lives.
Yes.
I mean, it was why we're there.
Yeah.
And but it was something,
and it was pretty dramatic.
It was.
So our resident was raised in one particular faith, and her husband was raised in a different faith. And that was very controversial at the time when they married, 80 years ago. And then when they decided to raise their children in a different faith, that the parents of the faith that was not followed were a bit vindictive, and that it was very distressing to the resident, to the children, and difficult on their marriage. So as we were discussing it, Catherine was so wise. She said, please make sure everyone knows we're not saying that one faith over another is better or worse. Mm-hmm. But I think that comes from our respect for each other when we
speak. I agree. And I don't think that was taken.
No, but you were wise
in that way. But that kind of thing can get to the point where...
You don't want people to think they can't participate in the group because they're of one faith or another.
Yeah,
that's not what we're about.
No.
Well, I do have something I'm curious about, and I think probably both of you have examples of this, but I'm wondering if there's steps you take to manage the emotions when they arise. So when I think of somebody in Mary's position where even myself, when I've gone into Riverside Glen and people have shared really strong memories or strong stories and it brings up a lot of emotions, I find then I leave the space and I don't always know where to put those feelings because I don't always have somebody that I can think of that would understand. And so then they're just kind of in me and I don't always think that's the healthiest approach. And so I'm curious, with both of you being so integrated in this program and being familiar with coming up with very real emotions, steps you take to put those emotions in a healthy place when you leave the program.
I think the process laid out in the program helps, because as we're going through the program and if we're feeling particularly strong emotions, we just acknowledge them. Mm-hmm. We acknowledge like that was hard. That must be something that you remember it now and you're still holding.
Yes.
And there's so sometimes just the sharing is helpful. Yeah. But we also have a closing affirmation. So there's a process of closing our group that I think is helpful in acknowledging hurt, pain, and happiness. And we have a closing song that's called I'll Be There For You. So this sense that you are not always alone with whatever that emotion and feeling is, I think tie together nicely.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of anything? The affirmation one, yeah. I still have trouble with because it's about how you feel about yourself, if you're happy to be as you are now.
Yeah.
And I think you'd have to be a godlike creature to feel at peace all the time and all these things. That's the only thing in it that I think, I don't know why I'm saying this, because I don't believe it.
But you don't repeat enough, maybe it'll stick.
You don't do that. But, you know, in you saying this, there's certainly the emotion in all the same. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's some very little things that come out. But there hasn't been tears. There hasn't been a great deal of outward upset, or there's not been anybody contradicting somebody or things like that. And I think it's the way it's set up too. But it's not dictating to you what you should think.
No.
It's a very, very personal thing. And I think society would be a lot better
If we all,
but even the people we have in the group, not everybody is willing yet to say something.
Yes,
you know, but you can tell by the things they do say that there's a lot hidden.
Yeah, a lot they're thinking of.
Yeah.
And if someone doesn't want to participate or it doesn't come to them naturally in that moment when they are given a chance to speak, we ask them to just hold it. Exactly. And it might come to them at a later time.
Yes.
And they can hold it in their heart if they can't get the words out.
Yes.
Yes. There's no pressure.
Yeah. It's something that's needed and not been thought of much.
Yeah.
And places you could have done this in very often now are not used.
Yeah, where would it be?
I would say places like church, for instance, where people would have some place to go to talk about it. You don't have that now.
And people can still go to the chaplain's chat or...
Yes.
But we could be talking about celebrations, or we could be talking about, our favorite things of the summer.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. It doesn't have to be... Yeah, it's about our spirit, but not about our religion.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't have to be ministers.
No. Exactly.
One thing that strikes me when you're describing the participants who maybe don't share, I know from personal experience, sometimes you don't need to say things out loud if you know you're somewhere that you're supported, because sometimes that's enough. knowing where you would go if you needed to say the things out loud. So people could still be accessing a very real and necessary support by attending and knowing that it would be a safe space. And then they're still okay to keep the feelings for them, but they know where they would go. And that sometimes I think is really, really helpful too.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be the facilitator. It can be anyone else in the group who has shared the experience. That's why it's the resident support group.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have one just now. I was quite worried about keeping an eye on that person. But there's two people I suggested, Mary or Carly. But they would not have gone to a person who was in charge of our floor or somebody like that. Yeah. Recognition was, this goes a bit deeper, you know.
Yeah, so another participant came to you and said they were concerned about something.
Yes.
They're part of the group, and you could you could, with their permission, could take it to me one of the other staff.
And that wasn't my position to do.
Oh, but you did what you did need to do. You were the ear. You were the ear.
I couldn't take that to the extent that you could.
Yeah, you couldn't fix it. But you could alert us that maybe somebody needs some extra supports. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, where do you get that otherwise, Jenny?
Yeah, that's amazing. It must be so comforting for the staff as well to know that there's an extra level of support and sharing going on amongst the residents. You know, that's so helpful.
I don't know that they all see it happening unless it touches them specifically. But we know.
Yes.
And that's the important part for us.
Yes. And there's sometimes, since we've been in the big room, that it can be very annoying because the staff are talking away in the back or shouting back and forward. And this just doesn't happen with you. It happens with Carly. It happens
with other programs.
With the chaplain, too. And I'll comment it. It's a case of respect and several other things, you know. But it can be part of what society is today, in a way.
Yes, some, you know, they're trying to get their jobs done,
That's right.
And they're trying to be expeditious, and maybe the door to the dishwasher room is open and nurses are chatting. And So we try to keep it in, keep everyone respectful.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Life sometimes gets in the way.
I'm curious if either of you have plans, like already topics that you think are going to be important to be focused on when you get out of the outbreak mode and into getting to share space again. Like, are there things specific to the pandemic that have been emerging as themes that you're going to talk about?
Well, they sort of are interspersed into every topic. So, for example, if we're talking about discouragement, I keep a mask on the whole time, and some of the residents in the group have challenges hearing. And so, I get discouraged that I'm yelling through a mask, and a mask is the only thing, well, not the only thing, but one of the predominant tools we have to keep each other safe and for us to be able to run the program and be together. But it doesn't change the fact I hate it. And it's sweaty and it's hot and people can't see my facial expression. So, that might be my example on a given day about discouragement. And during celebrations, we've talked about, what we'd like to see a post-pandemic party look like. And things that we miss from our celebrations that have passed. I can't remember which one of our ladies in the group had a big birthday, Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about not having the big birthday parties that you might have and, you know, how we could celebrate as a small group and make it a special acknowledgement. But I think that just day-to-day things in life that are impacted by COVID come into our group every week.
Yeah, fair enough.
One week was especially very nice. And it had been one of the people's birthdays since his going to be 100 in next year, and Mary had forgotten this, and she had a little brought special cookies and celebrated her birthday there, and it meant so much to that lady, because I found out later neither her son or her daughter had visited her on her 99th birthday.
But we had a party.
We had a party. And she remembers that.
Yeah.
She remembers that. And, yeah.
It creeps in all the time, doesn't it?
It does.
That's because we're living with it.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Just different things come up for us.
Yeah. We're living with it and we're dying with it.
Yes.
Because of the ages there too.
Yeah, that's actually one thing, Jenny, that comes up with our group is that we've had some members that have been a part of it for a really long time and other members that have sort of come and go, and you know, maybe it wasn't 100% for them, but then there is this foundation of participants. And when there's a passage, when one of our members passes away, it leaves a hole, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And we acknowledge them and we remember them and we celebrate them, and sometimes memories of them filter back into the group again.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're at an hour, so I guess I need to wrap up. But there have been some really beautiful things shared today, and I appreciate it so much. Any final thoughts that you two want to share about this?
It just, to me, it's very necessary. It's not just, oh, shoot, we have Java music. It's what it does. And you can't, it's something that's missing in society, I think, now. And probably has been for centuries.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't speak about it if I didn't feel that and feel how necessary it was, and how Mary does. So she's gifted with this. No, don't laugh. You are gifted with it. As I said before, you can do all the psychology and what you want, but you don't always end up the understanding people like you. So, thank you.
Yes, and I was thinking that too, Jenny. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to discuss this program. Like I have said a couple times through this broadcast, I just find the Java Music Program to be so beautiful and magical. And I feel honored to share it with the residents every week.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much for letting us tell others about it. It's fabulous, and I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you too, and hopefully when somewhere on the other side of this, when outside people can come to the space, maybe I can come sit in sometime. I would love to hear it.
We'll have cookies that day.
All right, sounds perfect. Thank you too so much.
Yeah, thank you.
So once again, that was Mary Haggerty and Catherine Finley talking about the Java Music Club, one of the Village of Riverside Glen's signature programs. The song you're hearing in the background is their closing song for the end of the Java Music Club each time, and they wanted me to read their closing affirmation. The closing affirmation is, I love, accept, and appreciate all of me just as I am today. I bring understanding and compassion, and I receive understanding and compassion. I bring unconditional love, and I receive unconditional love. I bring peace, and I am at peace.
Our friendship stays the same.
That brings us to the end of this episode of Bridging the Social Distance, a show produced at CFRU in Guelph and syndicated for CIOI in Hamilton, Ontario, that aims to create a platform for us sharing what we are doing to get